Our scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom he wanted. And they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" And they all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they just shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was about to begin, he took the water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. This is the word of the Lord. Though these words are familiar, it's good for our souls to slow down and embrace the tension, the anxiety, the friction in the city of Jerusalem at this time. The tumultuous events that have been in play by God's perfect design, but playing out in real time for all who are in all four of the gospel narratives. Jesus, after the longing of spending the Passover with his beloved disciples, they go into the garden at night. They pray, they intercede, they fall asleep. Jesus is in agony, sweat like blood. In the middle of the night, as Jesus was praying in Gethsemane, the great crowd comes, full of chief priests, religious leaders, and the elders. They arrest him. One of his disciples, Judas, betrays him with a kiss. He's dragged away, but not before the chief priest's servant his ear is cut off, and then Jesus heals it. Shackled and led into a kangaroo court of Caiaphas, the high priest, with the scribes and the elders, the so-called religious leaders, the shepherds of Israel, have established a kangaroo court from which they try Jesus. They spit on his face, they slap him, and they mock our Savior. And then Peter denies the Lord three times before the cock crows. As the morning rises, Judas can't live with himself for what he has done. He takes the 30 pieces of silver, throws them in the temple, and kills himself, hangs himself out of great disgust and guilt for what he has done. The chief priests then, of course, lead Jesus away to Pilate, and here is where Barabbas and, and Jesus and Pilate all intersect. It seems chaotic. It seems unnerving and full of fear and anxiety. And yet Jesus is at perfect peace. The plan is coming full into play. Our sovereign Lord is in control of it all. And no one else can see it, but he knows. His eyes are fixed like flint onto the cross. So here is Barabbas. In this moment, he is recorded in all four of the Gospels. He's not a good man, not at all. In our text, he's said to be a notorious prisoner, and others, a bandit, an insurrectionist, one who was against the empire of Rome, a murderer, violent, deserving punishment under Roman law, waiting for his crucifixion. We can't imagine what it must have been like for him in that dark dungeon cell guarded by centurions, but hearing the turmoil, hearing the yelling, the crowd, and all of a sudden his name being called out. A little bit later, the guards come. He thinks this is it. He's on death row. This is it. The most horrific, barbaric, intentionally designed tool of massive suffering. Jesus is going to be on that cross that Barabbas should have been on. And then Barabbas is set free. We can't imagine what he did. What did he think? What happened when the lock was turned and he was set free? The guilty man who expected death, deserved death, now has life. The chains are gone and he is free. It's a picture of God's amazing grace. It's unfolding right there. We all can see it. It's obvious. Though Barabbas, in the real time of it all, and no one else could see what was in play, but we get the taste of the substitutionary atonement that God is at work, and Barabbas becomes this living object lesson to all, absolutely guilty, deserving the cross, and yet the innocent is now condemned, and the guilty is set free. What was he thinking? Did he run to his family and friends? Did he celebrate? What did Barabbas do? We just don't know. But we do know this. He did not earn any of it. One drop. It was all completely grace. Miraculous, stunning grace. He did not earn one drop of this. And it makes it so clear as we think about sometimes we say that Jesus died for us, but we can't forget that Jesus died instead of us. We deserve that death. Barabbas deserved that death. It wasn't just dying for us. It was dying instead of us, what we deserved. One thing we do know, we don't know how he celebrated or what he did after he was set free, but we do know Barabbas was never the same. How could he? Everyone who intersects with Jesus, prominent, important people to commoner, unknown, faceless people, are changed as a result of their intersection with Jesus. Every disciple, including Judas, Caiaphas, the high priest, Malchus, who was the servant who had his ear cut off and then miraculously healed. Every Roman centurion, Pilate's wife is even mentioned. She knows he's a righteous man. Tries to warn her husband, but it's too late. Herod, Simon of Cyrene, who carried the cross. No one who ever intersected with Jesus remained the same. Not one. They were all changed, or rejecting Christ, doomed, but they were never, ever the same. We wonder what did happen to Barabbas. What happened to this man? We hope he came to Christ, but history does not record, the scriptures do do not let us know. What then happened to Barabbas? We do know that if he did not come to Christ, he was only set free in the physical sense. He was only released from prison, but he didn't have a new heart. His heart of stone was not transformed by grace to have a heart of flesh. We do know that if he was free, but he wasn't transformed, he may have received freedom, but he did not receive all the riches of Christ and our justification, sanctification, salvation, future glorification, union with Christ. Everything that we get to experience as a believer, the freedom of it all. If he did not come to Christ, he was just a man out of prison, but not free from the shackles of sin. For we know that we in Christ have what is called the great exchange. We take on his righteousness. We give Jesus all of our sin. We hope Barabbas had that. We hope Barabbas would understand later on that he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. As Romans 5 amazingly plays out, therefore, since we've been justified with faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one would scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps a good person, one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We have now been justified by his blood. Much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. As we think of all the passages of the riches of being Christ, the penal substitutionary atonement that came, we see Barabbas is a foretaste of that, is this picture of this. And it points to this reality that's very painful. We, each of us, we are Barabbas. We are the ones that deserve. We are the violent criminal that in our heart we've murdered people. During this Holy Week, have you not been more keenly aware of our sin and our desperate need? Of all the ways that we have murdered people in our hearts? We are like Barabbas. And we have been set free by Christ indeed. What a gift that we have. So though history does not record, though the scriptures don't tell us what did happen with the freedom that came to Barabbas, what is it that he did? How did Christ work in his life after his freedom from prison? We do not know. But maybe the better question for you and for me is, what did you do with the freedom? What did I do with the freedom? What do we, as the people of God, what have we done with our freedom? Thanks be to God for his word.